It's time for us to get love right, folks. And so we invite you to check out the King and Queen of Hearts.
This is an incredible training for couples who are struggling in unsatisfying sex lives.
It's also for lifelong learners, people whose relationship is great and they want to make it even better.
In this three-part training that is filled with 8 different tutorials like the art of tantric kissing, eye gazing that is deep and intimate, connective and not creepy, and sacred sexual meditations, you do them with your lover to juice you up before sex. Communication tips and really, really valuable relationship essentials are all found in this training.
You know, a common mistake couples make is they wait, they put it off, they avoid, they resist. And if you want to continue doing that, well, good luck. But if you really want to make a change, get this today. Don't let another month go by where you're losing precious connection with your partner.
Plus, you can't beat the price on this program. One of our clients, Casey, said a spark in their intimacy is back on track.
Now, Sarah and her husband, you know what she told us, Willow? She said, finally, he learned how to kiss her right.
Oh my God, hallelujah. So happy for Sarah.
So if you want some radical changes in your love life, go to sexreimagined.com, click on courses, and scroll until you find the King and Queen of Hearts. And because you are a fan of the podcast, you can use the King and Queen 10 code in order to get 10% off. That is King and Queen 10, and you can use it in the checkout.
Mare's journey began in the mid-80s out of her desperate quest to heal from sexual trauma. She was terrified to trust and frustrated with numbness and pain. Struggling to let go of the past, she carried it unconsciously into her relationships with men, causing them to fail due to the lack of authentic intimacy. After a heartbreaking divorce, Mare began to seek healing from Western sexology to the mysteries of the East. The great and wonderful Mare Simone's trained to be a sex surrogate and in the process was able to deeply explore and discover the healing powers of touch.
Powerhouse Mare Simone, you've probably listened to episode 15 where she talked about cervical orgasms. And today she dives deep into not just the release of trauma through breath, but the calling in of pleasure, the ecstasy and the undulations that can roll through the body and the intimacy that can be cultivated with a lover. So you know what to do, baby. Tune in, turn on, and fall in love with Mare Simone.
Welcome to the Sex Reimagined podcast, where sex is shame-free and pleasure forward. Let's get into the show.
We have Mare Simone in the house. One of the OG favorites of Tantra. And we're going to dig in. We're going to talk about breathing and the transformational power of breathing and all the different ways it can support our healing process, our intimacy process, our ability to thrive and have greater capacity to deal with life. And then there's the sexy stuff, how it can transcend our states into blissful nirvana. So, Mare, where would you like to start?
Right here and now. We just got pretty buzzed breathing. That's a really good warm up for this whole expression. I want to start by describing a little bit about what breath work is, because there's a lot of different kinds of breath work. And there's probably a lot of ways that we can develop and create our own breath expression. But the breath work as a therapeutic process is a really valuable way to clear your centers, to examine what's in each and every chakra in terms of debris. I sometimes think of it as the what's that thing, the leaf blower, the leaf blower of your chakra system. It opens everything up. It clears the debris. It allows us to really feel and sink into what's clear on the other side of that debris. And so the breath work that I started with many years ago when I was really sexually blocked, and really didn't feel a lot of pleasure and sensation, and all the vibrators in the world were numbing me more than stimulating or activating me. And I felt like I was just completely out of touch with my body. And I went to a workshop with a woman who was leading this group, and she was offering something called the fire breath orgasm. Mm. And I thought, well, it sounds really interesting. What's that going to be like?
I'll take one of those.
Yes, please. Sign me up.
And she described it as something that came from the Kwadoshka tradition, which is American Indian. And something that actually was developed, and I don't know how true this story is because I haven't seen it in writing, but I'll tell you her tale, that it was developed for wounded soldiers, that when they would go into war and they would get wounded, they needed a way to raise the vibration so they weren't feeling the pain so they could continue to do the battle. I wonder how it transitioned from that to becoming an orgasmic experience that was then taught in as a way of sexual healing and clearing. Mm. But how it works is breathing in and out through each chakra, starting with the base. And
for connecting. People who don't know about chakras, would you maybe give your description or your definition of them?
Sure. They're the energy centers in our body that both give and receive energy in a very strong, powerful way. The heart chakra is the center of all chakras, the queen of chakras. And when all the chakras are connected, like from the base would be the bottom first chakras down there where you're seated. If you're sitting right now, you're sitting right on your base chakra. And you can actually sometimes activate it by just sort of relaxing those butt muscles and maybe even doing a little movement. And you'll notice when you're tight astronaut, because you know, when you're relaxed, your energy is flowing more. And when you're not, you tend to come in conflict with life. It creates these
uptight rigid... has a home. It's your butt. it's your base chakra. Uptight has a home.
Oh yeah,
and it's your base chakra. Yeah. Perfect. So when someone calls you a tight ass, this is an opportunity for you to relax your base chakra.
Yeah. Don't get upset about it. Just take it in and let it happen. And sometimes squeezing will let you realize how tight you are, and then you can hyper-relax, just push it out and really fully relax, which is a valuable thing to do during sex. And it's also a part of the fire breath orgasm practice. We would use the movement of contracting and relaxing along with undulating our spine in a way that kind of simulated orgasm. It activated the orgasmic experience. And often it's done lying down, especially when you want to release trauma or release blocks or really pound it out. And you go through each of the centers, so connecting the sex chakra with the base chakra. They're next to each other. And then bringing in the solar plexus, the belly chakra, and connecting all three chakras. And when you're doing this, you're aware that each chakra is kind of like a neighbor to the others. So this is a longer explanation than a quickie, but I just want to dive in. Because they all support each other. The base chakra gives you such security and a feeling of being supported. And when you're not feeling secure and safe and supported, it's really hard for your sexual feelings to open and be free and expansive.
Right.
And so when we're doing this breath work, we're also paying attention to what's there, which doesn't make sense if you're thinking about it intellectually, but when you're doing the breath work and you're feeling it and you're getting in touch, it's very resonant. You can notice when there's a block. Oftentimes when you're doing it, there's somebody who's witnessing you and holding space so that you can really go into it, and they can guide you if you get stuck, because it's easy to get lost in these little dark corners, but it's also easy to move the energy right through those dark corners if you don't stop. So when people do breath work initially, sometimes they start to feel maybe a little tired. It's like, this is taking a long time. What's going on? And that's often a sign of resistance, because usually on the other side of that is what they're needing to let go of, whatever that tension or trauma is. And I had a lot of trauma in my life, a lot of sexual trauma in my early and teens and 20s. So, you know, I make it sound so horrible when I say a lot. Now looking back at it, it wasn't a lot, but in those instances, my life was radically affected.
Yeah. Mm. Right. Yeah, the impact was big.
And the lingering effects that went on for years is really what I'm referring to. Because it took, you know, 20 years to release something that happened to me when I was in my teens or 20s, a date rape, and just feeling like my pleasure was, it had been locked inside my body. And doing the breath work allowed me to release it and started to feel energy moving into the areas where I was feeling blocked and dark and shadowed. And pretty soon I started feeling this lightness moving through my body and tingling through my body. And sometimes it would be like emotional and I would want to move through, you know, all the anger and all the frustration. And we were encouraged to speak it out, to shout it out, to pound it out, to do whatever we needed to do to get it out. And so it was very, very liberating. At first, it might seem intimidating, but when everybody, you're doing it in a group of people and they're all
right,
doing it
you
too.
Right, you get off on each other's, you know.
Yeah, the sound,
totally.
The
experience
breath,
the sounds.
The
and, yeah.
It's so intimately bonding for
energy.
The group.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? You can feel each other and support each other. And on the other side of the room, I'm hearing my sister Shama screaming and I'm like, you go, girl!
Yeah.
Because we're feeling the teamwork.
Yeah.
We're like on it together.
Yeah. And when you start to have that bond, you start to get to know each other in a group experience, it's like you start to cheer for, when you hear so-and-so really let it rip and you know they've been hanging on to it for so long and your heart just bursts open for them.
That's
and
so fun.
That's such a joyful experience.
Exactly. And if you could see the energy, I'm sure the room would be filled with colors.
Right.
Yeah, you know, maybe some dark
such a great way to create community, you know, even a room full of strangers and like no time at all, like everyone's bonded. Yeah.
Instantly,
and I'm glad you mentioned the resistance, because often when I think about, I should do more breath work, you know, my next reaction is, oh, so much
tired.
Work, you know, like it's really that much work to sit or lay down and do some breathing. Or even stand, for crying out loud. I mean, it's a poor excuse.
It does move so much stagnant energy that it takes and requires energy to do it. And it can cause headaches and it can cause weird symptoms in your body. It can cause deep fatigue.
That's why it's helpful to have a facilitator holding the space or a group, or, you know, to do it on your own by yourself. I wouldn't recommend it unless...
Oh, this particular breathing technique, you suggest doing it in a group.
You know, if somebody's having trauma, for example, you know, if they want to break through some trauma, I would really recommend that they do the work with somebody who can support them and help them move through it. Because when you get into those dark places, it's like you need to be coached through it. You just do, because...
Well... Yeah. And having
sometimes
to be there to comfort you and to catch you and to help bring you back out of the spiral of grief and discomfort and shame. Because you're really, in those moments of letting go, you're finishing metabolizing something. You're finishing the digestion of something that you've been holding on to in the past that you didn't have enough resources to process in the moment that it was happening. And thank God your body is so smart. It knows what you can handle.
Exactly.
And so one thing about venturing into the release of past trauma is it's on its way out. Mm-hmm. And the space you'll feel as a result of moving that and isn't what a miracle breath is, that it can facilitate so much lightening of the spirit and the soul, so much, you know, purifying of things that just are going to happen to us as human beings. It's we're meant to face them. I don't know why.
Makes us stronger. It helps us learn how to have empathy and compassion for one another.
Right. That's, and to be grateful for all the blessings that do happen in between the obstacles.
We don't know the light if we don't know the dark. Yeah. Okay, back to this.
Back to the breathing.
Well, in the fire breath orgasm, the culmination of it is you're moving the energy through every chakra and connecting them all with each other. So the sex is connected to the power center. And then when you feel that power center is full and sexual energy is growing and expanding, you bring it up into the heart, and then you let that heart energy soften and soothe, you know, the power and the sex. And and you're just integrating all these chakras as you're doing this breath. And it's like this movement. And then you bring it up into the throat. And at that point, if you're not very vocal, you're encouraged to open up the throat center and let it all out.
Okay.
And that's when,
challenge
the, you
yourself.
know, the roof falls out and flies up the building because everybody's
it's like
just
ecstasy
like,
and agony are you know, having a in the cathedral together, I'm sure.
Exactly. Well put. Because laughter comes up and tears come up, right. And then more laughter. It's like, you know, any kind of very powerful healing that we do, we want to clear and invite every emotion and every feeling to be felt fully and to be embraced fully and to be allowed and to be spoken or screamed out loud. Because some of those traumatizing experiences, you might not even have names or words or memories for, but your body remembers everything.
Right.
The cells of our body have a memory of all of our
past
experiences.
That's a way to get it out of the soma, yeah.
Yeah, and totally. And it's so common for it to get stuck right in the throat, and we lose our mm-hmm. voice. We lose our courage to speak the truth. We, you know, and literally, you can start to cough or even choke, or you know, it's or you want to throw up. It's so interesting those blocks
and
in the throat.
A lot of people hold attention up there. You know, most people that I work with massage. And for me too, you know, this is where we hold most of the attention because we're sometimes blocking that energy flow.
And so often when, you know, when I'm working with clients around, where do you feel the block? Where do you feel the tension? Where do you feel that lack of trust? Where do you feel that betrayal? Where do you feel that emotion or whatever it is? It's right at this, what we call the avenue of expression between the heart and the throat. Mm-hmm. In Chinese medicine, the tongue roots into the heart. So each one of, like, the kidneys open to the ears and the heart opens to the tongue. Each one of our organ systems opens to a sense organ. So it's very
interesting
that the tongue flowers from the heart. So
if
there's a block right here, you know, this avenue of expression, what's in the heart cannot come out. And that causes so much. I mean, and then you fold the body in half at the belly button and the, you know, the throat and the voice, this whole mouth and the yoni are mirror image of each other, right? So when we open that chakra, when we open that throat and voice, we are opening up the yoni. Okay, so I want to get this breath work right because I want to try it later tonight. I'm going to do this tonight. So the fire orgasm breath. So you're inhaling, bringing it up to each chakra.
Right.
Yeah, and is it flowing back and forth?
There's a pattern. You connect the first two and then the first three and then two and three and two and three. So ultimately, you know,
so climbing up a ladder, basically.
Like that. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
And then
when
you bring it up through the throat and into the third eye, I like to use music for this. And the music that I tend to choose at that time is something very etheric and spiritual and expansive. And you might start to feel or see visions, you know, if everything else is clear. And then the intent is to bring all of the chakras in one big circle of breath and expansion. Once you brought it all the way up the ladder, then you connect all the centers together. And oftentimes that will bring up spontaneous laughter, spontaneous movements and dance or, you know, orgasms, whatever.
Sometimes probably also just like stillness, I imagine. You might get into these pauses, right?
Right, for sure. Especially when you bring it up into the third eye and the crown and you're just...
I keep on getting this like visual of Mare on the floor riding waves like a serpent upper body.
She's doing
the full weave, right?
Actually, I know.
Yeah. No wonder you're having that vision. Do you have a vibrator in right now, Mare?
It's a crystal wand. I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
It's just positioned just right.
Yeah, for those of you who have not heard
our first interview,
our episode with Mare, we talked about the cervical orgasm, and it is absolutely brilliant. It's really one of my favorite episodes of the whole show so far. And I'm looking up the episode number.
Eight.
It is 15, episode 15. So anyways, back to breathing and undulations.
Well, the benefit of it is that once you're clear, there's so much more sensation and subtlety becomes vivid. We don't need intense stimulation, although sometimes it's fun to get a spanking to intensify the energy, but we don't need that kind of continuous intensity. It's almost going in the opposite direction now. It's learning how to feel more sensual, to feel more in tune, to feel more subtle, exactly.
Right.
which we talked a lot about, I love for you to talk about
like the subtlety of sensuality, because it's something that I think is overlooked in most bodies. Like, if you haven't sort of thought to explore yet, subtle sensation, and the only way you can really capture subtle sensation is to be present enough and tuned into the senses that you can start to feel the delicate movement of air across your nipple, or you know, through the opening of your labia when the flower just starts to gently open and expand, or the way someone brings their touch so close to your skin, but they don't actually touch down, but you can feel the heat. It's like, I think because the word subtle sounds like little, maybe there isn't enough importance placed on it, but my, it, like, doors upon doors upon doors of pleasure and curiosity, I think, are available to us when we can. And breath seems like the huge connector of experiencing that those subtle sensual sensations that, to me, blow the roof off the house.
Totally. Let me tell you what I feel when I speak the word subtle, because I'm actually tuning into it right now. When I feel inside my yoni, whether it's with a wand or just my awareness and my attention, when I'm really tuning into it and I don't have any blocks, because I didn't always feel this way, but when I don't have any blocks and I'm just feeling, there's like this, I can't describe it with words. It's almost like this current that just kind of waves and wafts through the body with these pleasurable sensations that are gentle and like warm, like, you know, like lying.
What's the element? Is it like water or air?
Water and air mixed together.
What does that feel like to you?
To me.
It looks like that, doesn't it? And maybe it's because of her blue shirt, but it feels like a mixture of air and water.
Right. It's the breath connected to that expansion of fluidity, the movement of our body when we're not stiff. Our bodies just naturally have this fluidity that when you're listening to music, you might find yourself moving in that fluid flow if you let yourself do it. A lot of people do, even if you're not a great dancer, and it feels good and it allows you to engage more in the energy of the music and with the band or whoever is singing. You can just feel their music flowing through your own body when you move.
I think one of the really cool things about breathwork, because I'm just sitting here noticing the three of us are energetics on the blueprint, right? For sure. We all have a strong energetic. Okay.
Right.
Not everyone has that.
Model.
Some people are just, they just want to fuck, right? They're just sexual, or they just have a very strong kink or whatever. They want more stimulation, more sensation. But I think no matter where you land on the spectrum, no matter what your sort of predominant sexual style is, when you bring breath into it, you're going to augment that experience regardless. And I think it does get you into those more like nuanced and subtle, those little corner pockets, those little hidden gems inside of your being, inside of your body that don't otherwise get a chance to feel or to be expressed. And I think that experience breeds wholeness. Like, you get to become even more of yourself and feel into yourself more when you get into those little corner pockets that the breath, only the breath, can get into. I have a lot of clients too who are in wheelchairs, or they just feel like they're prisoners in their bodies. And, you know, they're like, I can't, I'm like, how about a little chair qigong, or, you know, how about a little this or that? And it's like, even the movement of the arms in a certain way hurts their body. So that's what's so powerful about breath work, I think, is like, at least you can breathe, like you can shift the consciousness around your breath, and you can shift the rate and the rhythm and the strength of your breath. And that is going to get into those tiny little corner pockets and move some chi.
Well, you know what else that dawned on me when you were saying that, Willow, was the yin essence that is so connected to subtle energy. And that's the thing I think that allows for the feeling of wholeness to occur, because we've been separate from the yin. There's something about our culture, our society, our conditioning that has minimized the value of yin. In fact, most people don't even know what yin is. You know, here I am using a term that's, I wouldn't be surprised if most of our listeners don't know what we're saying when we're saying yin. And so that would be this, the quality of life, of energy, of movement that is slower in nature. It is lighter in nature. It is magnetic in nature. Mm-hmm. And it is typically feminine in nature, although you don't have to genderfy it. Mm-hmm. But it's soft. It's more still than it is active. And so it is sort of that subtle glance. It's that come hither turn of the chin. It is the breath that you savor, that you drink, that you draw in. It's this movement. I also think it's very much connected to the senses, right? And when we are paying attention to what we're tasting, like a sip of a beautiful beverage, that you actually really want to pick up all the notes. You know, you really want to know what you're tasting. Mm-hmm. What a yin experience of looking purposely for the subtle flavor. And so breath, I think, has these both subtle and not so subtle attributes, because it's an amazing tool to change your state, which I think from a mental health perspective is a really all natural, homeopathic, holistic approach to feeling better.
Can't do any harm.
Yeah, I mean, shit, if it can take you into the world of orgasm, safe to say, it's going to help you feel better, my God. I mean, there are people who can breathe their way into orgastic bliss. Mm-hmm. Now, Mare, I'm pretty sure you are one of those people. How does someone learn how to do that? Especially when they've been identifying as someone who has a hard time with climaxes.
Mm-hmm. I think that Once the traumas are clear, and doing this kind of breath work can help facilitate that, and giving a voice to whatever scares you about what you're holding back, because that's usually the bridge to the next level of consciousness. I think starting with a safe connection to the heart, whether it's by yourself or with somebody that's supportive to you, to really create that safe environment, that whatever needs to come out so that I can be filled with love and pleasure, let it come through as a blessing and let it be released. Maybe to start it with that kind of a prayer to may it be released and removed so that there's more room for the love and pleasure that wants to fill my body. So that you make it as a conscious intention that you're not just getting into the darkness and the shadows, but you come through with that purpose of finding your way onto the other side.
Yeah, like letting go. Because letting go is really powerful and also really connected to the breath. It's when we let go of our pain, when we let go of our attachment to the orgasm.
Yeah.
And there's a certain amount of letting go that is required to even relax into
breath. Breath is even more connected to letting go because it's tied to the large intestine in Chinese medicine. So
Talk about letting go. And then look at all the breathing you have to do to give a baby, get to birth a baby. Yeah, I mean, it's a serious situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how do you bring this breath work into sexual practice with yourself, with a partner?
I was just remembering a time when I was doing breath work and a partner of mine was still sleeping and it got a little loud and he woke up and he was watching me. And I didn't know at first he was watching me, but it was great, a turn on for him, because he was seeing me in that place of just letting go and feeling the freedom. And it was a great bonding. I don't necessarily recommend that as a foreplay, but it worked in that occasion very, very well. You know, and if there's anything blocking you and your partner that you need to clear, doing breath work is a great way to do it. Like when you're doing breath work and you feel like there's something that's stuck in my body and I just can't get it out of my system. This is how I would process it. It was like, I want to get it out. I want it out. I don't know what it is, but I want it out, out, out. And I just kind of like move the energy like that. And if you're with a partner and you're doing it together and you're not blaming him, it's kind of like having a great fight.
Without fighting, without blaming.
Yeah, you get to express the energy, but you're not throwing it at the other person.
Totally. And then you have great makeup sex.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the energy
is a great preventative practice to having a fight, right? Just do this once a week and then you don't even fight.
Okay, what are we going to get out of our systems? Let's lay it out. Let's get rid of it and then come together and make love. Yeah. I mean, I can think of so many amazing orgasms that I've had after doing breath work where my body was so sensitive and so alert and awake, and like every movement was just like radiating through my whole body. Just like, wow. When there's no blocks, it's awesome. It's just
so good.
So worth it.
I've been playing with breath work lately with my partner, and we'll have sex for a while, then we'll stop. We'll do breath work. And then we'll get
what does that look like, Willow? Like, what breath are you doing on your break?
We're doing the Wim Hof. So,
oh God,
you know, yeah. And we'll do like
some heavy breathing.
Two or three rounds of Wim Hof in between sets of sex.
Have you done the ice baths yet?
Oh yes, we have definitely.
That's nuts. Wow. I used to do cold showers. I can relate to that. But you know, you can jump up and down in a cold shower. In a cold bath, you're just like.
You're just sitting there. Yeah. I can sit in there for minutes. I can only sit in there for seconds. But yeah.
Well, I can relate. Having gone to hot springs and, you know, the hot and the cold contrast, it's like, wow, your whole body comes you know, right
to
the surface.
It's all biohacking. Breath work, the cold plunges, it's all keeping you young and healthy and vital. I mean, look at Mare. Look at Mare's skin. Look at the energy that comes out of her eyes. Look at her glow. Look at her beauty. How long have you been doing breath work, Mare?
It was one of the first things I learned in my Tantra journey. And I'd say that was over 33 years ago. So it really sparked a transformation for me. I use and I teach and I lead clients through it, especially when I see them feeling a little stuck. It's okay, let's do some breath work. And amazing stuff comes up. It's, you know, it's very, very valuable. Yeah.
You know, I tend to like, breathing exercises that are simplified. Mm-hmm. When they start to get kind of complex with a lot of steps, it loses me a little bit. I'm wondering if the two of you love the variations in various breathing exercises, or if you're like me, you kind of have your top three favorite go-tos.
Mm.
Go ahead, Mary. You answer first, love.
Well, I've kind of created my own style eventually because I've learned various styles and I melt them kind of together because, you know, the fire breath orgasm in itself doesn't really lend itself to, you know, more deep emotional release work. And sometimes combining that with body work, you know, amplifies it. And then, you know, having done holotropic breath work, sometimes after the breath work, it's beautiful to do some artwork, to paint, you know, to just let your free creative spirit flow, which is something I learned from the holotropic breath work systems of Stan Grof. And so, you know, I guess essentially, like everything, I guess we make it our own once we feel like we embody it and we got it.
Yeah.
Was I just talking?
No.
Okay, sorry, Matt. Hey, everybody. The husband walked in and needed my immediate attention. So
you get
you just never know in these moments. It's like
a good wife.
Close the door. Okay, what do you need? Sorry to interrupt you.
Didn't hear a thing. Okay. Anyway, yeah.
You know, one of my favorite breath work practices, especially in intimacy, because I tend to be with energetic people as well. So there's just so much energy between us and there's so much to pay attention to. And every breath and every kiss and every touch is like a portal to another universe. Mm-hmm. So I like to keep it simple in those situations, like where we're really engaged and like in it together. And so I'll just focus on the Sushumna channel, which is the central column of light or the Tai Chi pole, or it's basically crown chakra down to the root chakra. It's the central column of light in your body. And I just think of it as like a hollow bamboo reed. And so just bringing the breath up the reed and then down the reed.
I love that one too.
The reed and down the reed. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes naturally, you know, Kegels will start to happen, but I don't look for them. I just let them happen if they happen. Kriyas will happen a lot of the times. Emotions can come through very easily in that practice. And then, you know, sometimes like if I'm not feeling, if I'm like, this is just not, I don't feel that much arousal. You know, I'm not feeling that much sexual energy in this particular situation. Then I'll do some of the stuff that, you know, the source has taught where it's like, okay, let me draw the energy up, hold the breath at the top, squeeze, swallow, really engage, engage, hold, 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 connect to whatever sensation I am feeling, even if it's like, I don't feel anything. And then sounding that out. And within, you know, 4 or 5 breaths and 4 or 5 sounds, I can get to a state of arousal. And then pretty soon I'm having tetany because I'm doing breath work.
Oh, really?
Okay. I've had tetany and so many times.
Describe tetany for people who may not know.
Yeah.
Tetany is
what happens when you have tetany.
Well, if you have like a strong tetany, then you get these crab claw hands and they kind of curl in on each other. It's a huge release for your tendons and your ligaments. But if it doesn't go all the way to that state, like this curling in of your toes and your fingers and your mouth feels numb and your eyes feel
weird,
you know, then you might really just get tingling. You might just get tingling in the extremities, tingling around the mouth. It feels like the mouth is kind of puckering in. It's a really trippy sensation.
And what's happening? Is it that you're breathing in too much or getting too much carbon dioxide and that's what causes tetany? Do you know what the What's happening there?
In my experience, it's just that rapid breath in and out. It's like that big inhales, big exhales. I've also had it with just acupuncture, doing breath work, but just opening up like small intestine, Sanjiao 5. If there's a lot of stagnation in the meridians and the tendons and the ligaments, then it's a lot easier for it to happen. So it's a release.
Okay.
I never thought of it as cleansing.
So it's actually beneficial for the tendons to actually go through that. Is it like a purification? I'm curious what the...
It is. It's a release.
It sounds like there's a benefit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a release of that. Because your meridians are like pathways of energy in your body, just like a river, right? We talked about that on an interview. And so if there's a block in a river, then the energy's not going to flow. The water's not going to flow. So the chi won't flow through that meridian. And so it's a release of blockages and stagnation in the meridian.
It's like a kriya amplified.
Yeah, I was going to say, it kind of sounds like kriyas in the purification process of moving, you know, just whatever it is, pollution, who knows? Doesn't matter. Yeah,
you don't have to
look through the trash to throw out the garbage. You just got to let it happen.
But I also had heard that it is the more oxygen in the body will be part of what helps to create that experience. So that intense breathing raises the oxygen. I've also heard by putting and I would never have done this, but putting a paper bag over your head so that you get more of the carbon dioxide. Or maybe putting covers over to do it so that you can balance the oxygen. But I wouldn't do that now, especially knowing that it's a cleansing thing, just to let it happen. And what would you recommend for people when their hands get really cramped, though? Do you just
and they're like,
you let
shake it out?
You let it go in.
Surrender.
You just go in with it.
Be with it. You have to be with the sensation and the discomfort. And then let it unwind. There's this desire to be like, okay, when is it going to unwind?
Why is this happening?
It takes the time that it takes to unwind. And it can take hours. It can take hours sometimes. But if you really like let it do its unwinding and release, oh my God, you're going to feel so amazing afterward.
But you know, those moments are kind of scary when you don't have control over your body. And your body is like, please unclaw. And it's like, nope, I am going to contract. This is going to stay like this. I'm doing something important. It's hard to... Until it's happened a couple of times to go, I can trust my body. I don't have to have control in this moment. And like, what a beautiful life lesson, right? Is to be given opportunities where control is taken away from us. And if you can embrace that, it's such a huge gift. You know, many of us actually could use being out of control more. I was thinking, you know, the breath that I really love that is like on auto repeat for me when I start to do anything intimate, whether that's self-pleasuring or with a partner, is the classic, just slow down the length of the inhale, slow down the length of the exhale, and then pausing a little bit at the top of the breath and just contemplating being full, you know, and just enjoying the fullness of breath and life in my system, and then allowing that to just sort of deflate slowly on the exhale, and then holding the breath out and just being with empty. Like, how wonderful is empty for a few moments until the next breath? And I love the place it takes me when each breath becomes a little bit longer and a little bit longer. It's like, I start to feel it as taffy, like it is stretching me out. And I also know that it's calming me down. Because sometimes when you go to be intimate, it's hard to get out of your head. Like, I'm usually still thinking about the list. I'm kind of enjoying the things I've already gotten done, but I'm worried about the things that I haven't gotten done. I'm waiting to feel hungry. I might be looking for a headache. I mean, there's all sorts of thoughts that start to clamor for my attention. But when I give my mind a job to just savor breathing in and breathing out, noticing fullness, enjoying emptiness, everything settles down, and you can really let yourself come into your body. I mean, that's what it does for me anyway. I feel like it just shifts any adrenaline that's running. And then that's when I start to bring my attention to my chakras, Mare. It's then I feel like then my breath takes the next step, and I imagine that it can turn on faucets. So if I'm like chakra faucet, so if I'm laying on my belly, I turn each chakra's faucet on, and then I imagine that I can drain out the front of my body with the exhale. Man, anything that's a burden, you know, anything that's been stressful, known or unknown, I'm like, just head on out. And then on the inhale, I imagine I can open up the faucet and breathe in love, light, goodness, pleasure, focus, presence, whatever is alive in that moment. And that's then I like to feel the shift of the inhale and the exhale going from, you know, the back of the body out the front of the body. It's just a different circuit. That's really my go-to OG favorite. It's the one I teach the most, and it's the one I just drop into. I have to say, I'm not a huge fan of the fire breath. I mean, I know it's probably because it's working my abs and it's good for me. But it's same thing with Qigong Willow, you know, a lot of the shaking movements.
You don't like that.
Oh man, it crawls underneath my skin. I'm like, let's wave. Let's not jiggle.
But I like the shaking. I think that vibrating stirs up a lot of oxygen really quickly in the body.
It's got to be important. It's got to be really good for you.
It's about moving the stagnant chi. You know?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Maybe it's because of boobs. I don't know why.
I was going to say that, actually. I'm like, maybe it's the scar tissue, Leah, that it really
right. Like, I feel like it jangles me, like it's disturbing. Yeah. But, I mean, it's got to be so good for your fascia. I'm curious, do either one of you know about the chemicals that get released through breath work? Do you know what?
Endorphins. Dopamine.
Endorphins.
Oxytocin, probably.
Probably oxytocin. Sure.
Yeah. And it also connects the vagus nerve again when you're expressing and using your breath. It really allows your activations of higher consciousness. I find sometimes after doing breath work and a really good orgasm that I just feel so creative. I feel so like cleared of all the clutter and just
feel
ideas
lighter.
Come storming through. And it's just like a wonderful time. I feel like I'm me again.
Yeah.
Reclaiming myself.
We had a lovely interview with Mr. Lee Holden and talked a little bit about breath and really just having a practice. And one of the things that I thought really landed in me was this idea of waking up with the day and rising with the day. And ever since he started to talk about that, I'm getting up earlier. I'm still like getting outside and actually doing the practice, but I'm working on it. Sometimes I got to chew on something before I actually do it. But it's been on my mind so much of like, I want to breathe as the day rises to greet us. I want my body to be in sync with that kind of nature. And it has just been... It's turning a dial. I'm wondering, do either of you have a morning practice that you, engage to wake up the day?
I sure do. Yeah.
Mine is kind of simple, but I just start the day with acknowledging my body, waking up and thanking my body for waking up and giving myself some love and time to cuddle with myself if I'm alone. And I just feel... You know, gratitude for the day, gratitude, and just start to set the steps ahead of the day, that the things I want to manage and accomplish. And I'm sure I could do a lot more. Sometimes being in the garden is my great meditation. I just love being with the earth and talking
to the
plants. I've got lots of kale and lettuces and garlic and onions and starting to do some tomatoes and what other things, squashes. What's really sexy about gardening is, I mean, you know, it is the birds and the bees and it's like this whole rhythm of nature and life. And sometimes the plants need hand pollination. So you take that stamen that's full of pollen and you insert it into the flower in this little center, which looks a lot like a cervix. There's sex happening right there.
It's sex is everywhere out there, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a great
pollinating
meditation.
Pollinating in your garden. I mean, hello. Reimagining sexuality here, people.
Yeah. Everything is blooming right now. Sexy. The hydrangeas are coming out and the lavender is coming out. I've got figs that are blowing up. Their pomegranate flowers are all blooming.
Ooh, pomegranates are wonderful.
It's like plants that haven't looked like they, since we moved here, that haven't been, I've been wondering, like, are these going to stay around?
Such a deep
They're
winter.
Like, they're blooming so beautifully right now. We came home and it was like, I thought the yard might be dead and everything was lush. Just lush.
So, Mare, talk to us a little bit more about like the breathing each other's
breaths
and like breathing into your lover's
with
mouth
a lover.
And
oh.
Moaning and the toning.
Yeah, something we talked about earlier. It's actually an amazing practice that I'm really into sound and toning on the body has always been kind of a turn on for me. And hot breath on the body, just up and down the spine is luscious, combining that with toning. And then one day I discovered that when you bring your mouth together with your partner's mouth and seal the space between your lips and you keep your tongue in, it's not about French kissing, but it's about making this hollow space between your mouths. And when you do that and then you start to hum and then you harmonize your sounds, there's this reverberation. I don't know the musical term for it, but it vibrates something in the brain. And two or three of those, and I feel like I have left my body and I'm on like I'm in space. I'm just totally expanded. When you do it during or just prior to an orgasm, it's it really takes you like right out there.
Oh, I'm going to try that as soon as this interview is over. I think it'd be a great thing to just also giggle over, you know, like, because it's so playful and sweet and to share breath.
I've had the experience where it's like our lips are locked together in that way. Like there's no space between. It's a full seal. And we're just inhaling and exhaling the same air with each other. It feels like we're sharing Shen, right? This the Shen is, Jing is one form of Qi and then Shen is another. And so we're sharing that that essence of spirit between us because breath is spirit.
Yes. You know? It's really what a beautiful spiritualization.
I'm gonna try it
intimacy.
With humming. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So this and it, you know what it makes me think of too is the yoni nadi. We did that the other day. The yoni nadi.
So I imagine that there's some level of that kind of sensation, like reverberating throughout the brain off, and new synaptic pathways forming in the brain with that kind of practice.
I'm sure. And I'm pretty sure it stimulates the third eye too, the pineal gland, because that's where I feel it the most.
You do.
Yeah.
Is there a breathing exercise that you use to facilitate someone who you might be helping through a healing process and they kind of go into hysterics, you know, that well of grief that kind of gets lost back in time and space. And you notice this is good for them to visit, but not good for them to live in.
To stay there too long.
How do you use the breath to draw them back into presence?
I have them express on the exhale what's coming out, and then to remember that in the next breath in, they can take in love. To consciously keep a balance between the release and, like, there may be a need to release a lot, but at some point, like you said, it's like, okay, this is enough. It's time to let love into this space where you've emptied so much. Because it's easy to get addicted to the tensions releasing. Because it's actually a pleasurable experience, but
it
it's not
good
nearly
to release.
Yeah. It does.
But that it's like an elixir. Take this present time love into where you're hanging out now, and it's almost like a lifeline. That love, you know, it's like, okay, I'm sort of stuck in the pit of the pain, but that. Okay, open your eyes.
Right.
Breathe.
Open your eyes and breathe in love.
Yeah. Remember where you are, you know, coming back to the here and now.
Yeah.
Willow, do you use a particular breathing type when you're working with someone who, you know, kind of goes into emotional?
Yeah. I don't know. I'll use the similar one where we hold the breath in, connect to the emotion or the sensation of that emotion, and then make the sound of that to start to move the energy out. And it's so funny. They'll be like, it feels like a sharp stabbing knife in my left rib cage. And I'll be like, okay, breathe in, hold the breath, and connect to the sensation of that. And depending on who they are and sort of how well practiced they are and how uninhibited they are, sometimes I'm like, okay, make the sound of that sharp knife in your right rib, you know, and they'll be like, or they'll be like,
right, you guys, you were like, come on, you can do better than that.
It totally depends. But either way, it's not up to me to judge or to say that's not enough or that's too much. You know, it's whatever they are really, truly feeling and able to authentically express. And I'll also say, you know, sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable to do this with somebody else in the room, but remember this practice in your body. And when you go home and you're by yourself, do it again. And really, really connect and make the sound, because you might be inhibited because I'm here. It was just
It's so natural and normal to go, oh my, I got to make a loud
sound
or a sound that authentically
sound.
Sounds like pain.
Yeah. I think what frightens people about doing that is that they think they're going to get stuck in the expression, that if they embody that feeling for even a second, that it'll take over, that it will be stronger than them. And
or they're afraid they're going to look stupid, or they won't do it right, or there's something vulnerable, right, that's about tapping into that. And
it is vulnerable.
And it's nice to have somebody there who can reassure you, come on. You got this. Let's go in. We're going to go in together and make the sound with you, you know, and to have someone else not overpower your expression, but to match your expression so that they're helping you open up more and more and more up to it, because there's something so beautiful, like on their third or fourth try when they fucking nail it, you know, and they just like, it's a letting go place.
Because you can feel them feeling it, actually.
Yeah, it's like they decide, okay, I'm not going to be self-conscious. Yeah, I'm safe. Yeah. Here we go. We're going to let it rip. And it's so satisfying to be the person witnessing that and participating in it, but definitely to be the person letting go of whatever is there. Yeah, God. Yeah. It's so funny. Don't you feel a sense of like visceral memory of your own experiences just talking about this? Like, I feel my body feels, I'm like, feel connected to the how good it feels to do that cleanse.
Right, right. Well, time doesn't really exist to our body in the sense that we're in the moment feeling the memories of the feelings that we had. And they come alive again. They just come back to the present time, which is what happens with trauma too. But it's good to know that it goes both ways. That, you know, we can.
Do you remember a moment of releasing on your own journey? You know, just a really heavy release. Like, do you have a memory that really sticks out where it just, it was really massive, impactful, the cathartic expression in your body? Could you describe that?
Yeah. I had one recently, actually, which surprised me because I didn't know that there was anything in me. I was actually a demo partner. I was a demo partner for Rahi Chuan, who's doing a beautiful massage video for his classes. And he was touching areas of my body. And I've had him work on me before, and I'm very vocal about what I'm feeling and what it feels good and what doesn't feel good. And he wanted to encourage me to just be that because, you know, I'm a good example, so he says. So as I was touching, I felt a little sensation that was really, really, it wasn't very major, but it was a little bit of a burning feeling. And as we tuned into it, it was the presence of his very gentle, loving consciousness tuning into that feeling that allowed me to feel it. And it wasn't about sexual trauma. It was about the world and about the weight of the world that I'd been feeling in my body. And as he was working on me, I just started to feel it and feel the support of him comforting me. And all of a sudden, it was like all the emotional tension and trauma about, you know, COVID and wars and this and finance, everything. It just like came to the surface. And I was not expecting that at all, but I gave myself permission to, because most of the time I'm keeping my shit together and I hold the smile in my head up and I don't go into those places too much on, you know, out there in the world. But here was a moment when I had an opportunity, even, you know, while it was being filmed, I didn't care.
Yeah,
I just knew
clear the psychic outhouse, so to speak.
It was beautiful because I found myself weeping so, so deep that I became silent in my weep. It was just like,
like
down to the deepest, deepest part of my being. And it felt so good to let it out. And afterwards, I was just floating. I didn't even know how I was going to drive home, but I was grateful that, you know, spirit guided me because I was just
And the world is a better place because of it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So powerful. I think that's,
we all need
you know,
that.
That's one of the things that really can happen, especially for women's bodies, is after we clear our own trauma and our own shame and our own guilt and all of that, and we start to become these more open vessels for Shakti, for Jing Chi, for life force energy to flow through, then the healing is exactly what you just described, this collective, like clearing out
the psychic energy around us.
All the junk that the whole world has been holding and going through. And I mean, I felt that. I felt that orgasm you had. I felt that release you had, Mare. I was like, oh, something just shifted in the world. Butterfly kiss came through.
Yeah. I think so. I think every time we emit pleasurable sounds and feelings, we put waves of light and color and beauty into the world.
Something about demo energy too, when whether you're being filmed or you're in a classroom and you're demonstrating something vulnerable, like there's magic in those experiences, the awareness that other people are witnessing your embodiment and your authentic choice to be with what is. You know, that draws something forth. That it's like, I don't know how else to describe it, but it's a powerful opportunity and gift that kind of comes to the one who's willing to be, I'm here for science so everyone else can learn, you know, like it's a part of the gifts that you give for the generosity of us all being here to learn and to bear witness to someone's truth, someone's rawness, someone's nakedness. It's
something they've been hiding and fearful of letting be seen, to suddenly let it out, to feel that deep trauma. It's very healing. Yeah.
I have a memory of Mare. She was the demo, I think, for one of the level fours, the teacher trainings, one of the really advanced groups. And I was looking for pictures of you, Mare, because I was putting together the promo stuff for the episodes. And there's this awesome picture of you right after a demo. And it was right when like new filters were all coming up. And so there was like these really ethereal light rays that I put into the picture and these little like light bubbles. And it totally matched the bliss state.
In the afterglow. It was amazing.
And you had these giant full bloomed flower roses that were like peak opened and they were on all your chakras. It's just, I'll text them to you.
Oh, I want to see that. I have two of them that you showed me, but you don't go past my neck, I think. So I love those pictures because they remind me of that feeling and that memory, and the way that you embellished it was exactly what I was feeling. So it really worked.
It was a real match. Yes. Yeah, well, maybe this very ethereal image of the Great Mare Simone might surface somewhere out there in social media. So visit us at Sex Reimagined on Instagram. And Mare, what is your Instagram handle? Do you hang out on Instagram or are you more of Facebook?
Yeah, I'm still more on Facebook and actually on LinkedIn a lot because I like to help professionals who are looking for this kind of information. And there's a lot less censorship on LinkedIn. In terms of sexual
I tried to get the team to like, let's go check out LinkedIn. Everyone voted me out.
Yeah, really.
They're like, we don't need it. We don't need another channel.
So how can people find you if they want to work with you? And do you have a gift that you're giving to our audience?
Yeah. All right. Well, you can Google my name. I'm all over the internet. And my website is my name. Mare Simone. My gift. This time I thought I would give something that's a key to the breath. It's kind of geared towards men having longer, stronger orgasms. How to use what I call the four foundations, which is the thought, the breath, the movements, and the sounds all brought together. And it's how to help a man to last longer, but it also helps for women too. And it helps women who want to help their men last longer. Right, so that they know how to do this work together and practice together.
So is it a meditation, a breathing meditation?
It's a little ebook. It's an ebook that gives you the guidance and some images. And it's called The Four Foundation last longer and stronger.
Nice.
Hey, lasting longer, feeling stronger.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Exactly. Well, what a treat. What a pleasure. Yeah. I mean, we could just sit with you for hours.
Oh, me too.
Such a delight.
It's like sitting with the goddess.
It is. It's like goddess talk. It's goddess hour.
Goddess time.
What were you? Was it yin-gasm? Was it yin-tide? There was some yin phrase. And I wanted to.
Yintimacy.
Yintimacy. Thank you for some yintimacy time with you, Mare. We had our own little yintimacy hour. We should really put on a YouTube show with. Oh my gosh. Just think of the things we could come up with to gab about. Holy smokes. I know y'all want in on that.
I love you too, ladies. It's been such an honor to be a part of this show and to do it a second time around. And to feel like I'm so glad that we're choosing, even though it's not as fun a topic, we made it fun to talk about trauma and how to work with trauma and how to help others break through trauma because it's so important. And even like I said, sometimes trauma isn't about sex and things that happened in the past. It could be the emotions of the heaviness that's happening in our world these days. And we all need having some kind of an emotional release, a sanctuary inside of our bodies where we can just get away. And, if we can't afford or time to get away to Hawaii, we can do it in our own bodies and create that little sacred oasis inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what a gift that our breath can relieve us of something painful like trauma. And it can bless us with the present moment. And then it can bathe us in amazing orgastic sensation. I mean, we are so lucky and grateful to breathe. So everybody, take a deep breath. Love, love, love.
Now, our favorite part, the dish.
She's so amazing. I mean, so many good memories with that woman.
I know. I love how she's been such a huge influence in your career and like guided you from the very get-go. And it's just, for me, it's so exciting to meet her and to spend time with her, because you're kind of that for me, you know? And so it's like the baton just keeps getting passed down.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
And she's just one of those people that's so inclusive.
Oh, she's,
you know,
amazing.
She just takes you right in and
she's
just good people, just really, really a loving, mystical, we should call her the chocolate truffle.
The chocolate truffle.
Because she just
the orgasma
melts.
Witch.
Yes, yes. And she's so in her body.
She's so embodied. I mean, I don't know all her story of sexual trauma. It doesn't matter. But I can feel how much she's transcended, mm-hmm. how much she's overcome, and how much she walks her talk, you know?
Yeah. And she's someone that has been through the journey of being sexually and emotionally shut down.
Yeah.
Orgasms were numbed out, elusive, far away. I mean, to be so unorgasmic for the amount of time that she was, that is not an uncommon experience for so many women. And it's not openly talked about. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important that there are women who have lived that and have overcome it and have done the work and the training and the healing to uncover what has been blocked. And, you know, I mean, she really is one of those people who can, in seconds, bring herself to an ecstatic state simply by coming into her body, feeling energy, and letting it roll through the breath and, you know, sound it out.
Yeah.
And doesn't she have a sexy voice?
Oh, my God.
Like, I've always thought she should be on the radio with that voice. She should... People pay good money to listen to Mary
Simone.
She's
on our radio.
Yeah. You heard her here first.
Yeah, right.
I wish I had her voice. First,
yeah, she does. She just has a sexy vibe, you know? She just, like, she knows
she's radiant.
How to. Yeah. And
yeah,
she's,
she, like,
what
glows.
Is, how old is she again? She's like.
She's in her 60s.
67, I think she said last time we interviewed her, or last year. So, I mean, just what a testament to the work, what a testament to the chi, to being in your body, to being in Shakti, to being in flow with life force energy. And, you know, I think the last time we interviewed her, she was like, I've had a little bit of back pain, so I'm doing this, you know, and it was like, I'm rolling pleasure through my back where I feel the pain. So she's, you know, it's not like things don't happen for her and she doesn't have moments of stagnation and pain in her own body and life like we all do, but she just moves it. She just doesn't question it. She just moves it along.
Yeah, and she's like one of those friends where you can talk about all the mystical stuff and she'll go right there with you. She'll even take you to places you've never been. But she'll also like throw down on being an entrepreneur and business and marketing and all the, you know, she can geek out on all of it.
Yeah.
And I really
appreciate
that. She's
a true sister.
Yeah.
Priestess in the temple.
Yeah. Well, that was fun. It was fun to have like a girl hour and, you know, just... ask each other questions and, you know, just delight in something as simple as breathing together, you know?
Breathing.
It's just, amen for breath.
Amen for breath. It's one of those things that you have access to any given moment of any given day, and it will transform your thoughts and your sensations in your body in an instant if you bring your consciousness to it. And then if you are in a practice of breath work, so I was doing Wim Hof breath work I did it daily for I think
probably like a year and a half, a little over a year, year and a half, something like that. And I'm a chronically cold person. I think my thyroid is a little subpar and my fingers and toes are always cold and I'm always cold. You know, I always want to rock the heat. Leah will come to my house. She's like, it's fucking hot in here.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it feels so comfortable to me.
Yeah.
And you're not the only one who says that in my house.
But fans.
So what I found when I did that much Wim Hof breath work, because it's a very young, rapid breath work, was I felt like it cleansed my adrenals, which adrenals are the support for the thyroid. And so I felt like my thyroid improved. And I was all of a sudden, I would be out at night in Santa Cruz where it's colder, because it's got the
especially
wet cold. And I would be like, oh my God, it's so hot. And I would just be taking off my jacket. People would be like, who are you?
Right.
People who know me well be like, what the hell is going on? And I swear it was the Wim Hof. So I got to bring that practice back in. I can feel it. I can feel it calling to me to bring it back in on a regular basis. But I have so many practices that I do all the time.
Yeah, I need to start challenging my comfort zone because... You know, I'm just, I can't ignore the signs. Like, unfortunately, I'm so informed to know that, like, I need to start breaking up my love of just sitting still.
Yeah.
And focusing on something.
It's amazing. It's an amazing gift and skill.
I
don't know how
as long
you do
as
it
I do.
For as but many hours.
I really do know that it's dangerous, and
you want to move.
I wish it wasn't so damn comfortable. But more than that, I wish for an authentic desire to start to awaken inside of me that draws me towards more active things in my body, you know, like that I... Because if I do something on a regular basis, like anything, you do start to crave it. You start to like it. You know, you get into it. But man,
yeah, well, you like
hurdle.
Going to the gym. You like weightlifting and that kind of stuff.
I do, but I've been blowing it off.
Okay.
I need to hire my trainer again. But
I just started doing weightlifting again. I haven't done it in years. But as I'm heading toward perimenopause, I'm like, oh, shit, got to start doing this. A, it builds mitochondria, which are the organelles inside of your cells that produce energy and ATP for your muscle strength, which holds your tendons and your ligaments together. Mm-hmm. So mitochondria, very important.
Very
it builds
important.
That. And then it also builds bone density, you know, and we start to get moved toward osteoporosis. So if you're in your 40s, it's time to start weightlifting, ladies.
Do
and it.
It
does get addicting, actually.
And it does. And the feeling of being
strong
is such a beautiful feeling to feel, because you feel more competent. You feel capable.
Yes.
You're less worried or scared. Like, you know, one of the things my trainer would take me through is like, this is why people break their hips. This is why people trip. Like, you know, these are the movements that you have to do neurologically in order to keep the left side of your body as toned as the right side of your body. Like, even just lifting weights, if we don't remember to work on our balance and doing separate parts of the body, because we'll always lean in to the stronger side of the body. So I love that. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to hang up and go to the gym, girlfriend.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I was doing weights earlier today and I was like, I want to go to the gym with Leah. I bet she has a really good weightlifting routine.
We do. And we've got a nice gym and you get to come for free because we pay a little extra. So guests can always come for free.
All right. I'm coming next time I'm in town.
Cool.
All
right, everybody, we love you. Please, please be a pal. Be a friend. Be a lover. And write
a
review.
Give us a review.
Would you please?
We
would you let
reviews.
Us know what inspires you and why you tune in and why you come back, or why maybe you're listening for the first time and you can't wait to tune in and binge on another. You just go ahead. We won't mind. In fact, we'll like it. We'll like it a lot. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in. This episode was hosted by Tantric Sex Master Coach and Positive Psychology Facilitator, Leah Piper, as well as by Chinese and Functional Medicine Doctor and Taoist Sexology Teacher, Dr. Willow Brown. Don't forget, your comments, likes, subscribes, and suggestions matter. Let's realize this new world together.
Awaken Arousal Oil is my new best friend. Like Laura says, holy forking shirt balls, did it deliver on its promise. I could feel the blood flow and warmth, and that was the easiest I've ever achieved multiple orgasms. This is all natural botanical oils. It is made with CBD because CBD helps relax muscles and it eases tension. This stuff smells so good and it mixes with your pheromones like, mwah, so good. Get yourself some. Link is in the show notes.